It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 18th of April, 2023. 18th of April, 75, no. Listen, my children, and you shall hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75, and hardly a man is now alive. None now, but, you know, he published that in like, what? The thing I'm looking at, it's like 1904, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, originally published, I'm not sure when, but I don't think anybody was alive then either. Hi, I'm Robin. It is, in fact, the 18th day of April, 2023. This is The Horn. Headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. All time zones in between, and the great globe round, and where if you pop by headon.live right now and enter the chat room, if you've never picked up a free screen name and a password yet, because it's free, well, you'll be greeted by early arriver for this Titanic Tuesday, Squeaky, and Squeaky is presently capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a Third Stage Guild Navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. And, a good time is had by all. Me? Well, you know, I'm in there too, but I just don't make a lot of my presence known, just, you know, kind of doing a show and stuff. But there's Theo in the Great Northwest popping in. Hey, Theo. Hey, Squeaky. It is the 18th of April, and it's funny how things just sort of embed on your little brain cells in there. 18th of April in 75. And, of course, Longfellow's poem was entirely, well, bullshit, because the vast amount of the heavy lifting was done not by Paul Revere, who got busted early, but instead by... what was his name? Dawes? Yeah, Dawes. Is there no truth in American history whatsoever? But I get ahead of myself. It's Titanic Tuesday. It's a day for taking note of manifestations of Titanic white wing intellect. And we got a day for it. Yesterday was a busy Moran Monday. Today's going to be a busy Titanic Tuesday. And, well, here, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And as such, we say thank you to our 18th day of the month subscribers via PayPal. And that means thank you very much indeed to... Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you to our dear friend in the South Pacific who wishes to remain nameless. Thank you to Grace. Thank you to Joy in Ann Arbor. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Thank you. That's how we managed to keep this program on the air. We are at present deeply in a hole. The fundraising goal is at $1,550. That means today and yesterday and Friday and Thursday and Wednesday are all completely unfunded. But we've only got $50 left of Tuesday, which is fantastic. So hopefully we'll knock some of that down. Gorgeous day here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by coal Manchinistan. I'd say this is probably the loveliest day of 2023 thus far. This time of year, I start keeping track of those things and because the days just keep getting prettier and prettier and prettier. So it was nice to be out and about in that, not a cloud in the sky. And yes, you can hear that song of the hills, someone mowing their grass in the distance. Apparently not terribly far from the studio. Yeah. But thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Seriously. It's amazing that we have lasted this long, and I hope we will continue to last. I so do hope. Anything we can do to knock that down, because it won't a couple more days and we'll be north of $2,000, and that's when I really start melting down. Yay. Because there's a lot of scary stuff out there that has to be paid for that people that seem to be uncompromising about. Speaking of compromise, yeah, that's how the program begins, yeah, on this Titanic Tuesday. Boy, was I wrong. Really, really, really wrong. But I don't think I was the only one. There were plenty of people saying, Dominion, they want a public airing of it. No. No, in the end, the Dominion listened to the lawyers, and the lawyers were like, are you kidding me? $787.5 million, and that ain't good enough? Oh, come on. Tell that to the shareholders. So, Fox News, TV, Radio Rwanda, Rupi, and Lockheed reached a settlement agreement with Dominion Voting Systems for... That's right, $787.5 million. Matt writing earlier, I guess it's worth $787.5 million to lie to Fox viewers. I was kind of looking forward to all the lowlifes getting on the stand. I was too. I really was. But then again, they're already locked down. That testimony is in depositions. And that's forever. Cold comfort, right? Yeah. But that, Jack in Shreveport says, once again, a bunch of rich people moved a bunch of money around, which they obtained by exploiting We the People's economic and legal systems. The bunch includes venture capitalist lawyers, media moguls, and a company that has benefited by the privatization of a portion of our voting and election system. We the people should be happy that some private company has been made whole. I, Jack says, have been left unsatisfied. And aren't we all? I think Flavio is in the pits of despair. Before airtime, I saw where he made a comment and said, what is it here? $787.5 million, the cost of doing business, no admission of guilt. Emery and Marvelline and their matching Barca loungers will never hear of it. This was the worst possible outcome. No, it wasn't. Love you, Flavio, but it was not the worst possible outcome. The worst possible outcome, which was, in fact, a possible outcome, was to go to trial and for Dominion to lose. Because, by golly, Emery and Marvelline would have heard heard no end of it over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Fox News exonerated. Fox News vindicated. Jury finds no lies told. Fox News is your most reliable source for news and information. We're fair and balanced. That would have been the worst possible outcome. Now, there's also something else to consider in all of this. This Dominion voting systems case doesn't address the Smartmatic case. And for all I know, maybe that was part of the consideration as well. Because that case still looms. Fox is not out of the woods. Now, News Corp is flush. The lawyers had already figured out that that Fox has some $4 billion cash on hand. That's just what's over there in the petty cash drawer, you know, easily obtained. So they'll be able to pay the $787.5 million. And it'll sting a little. It'll be, I mean, it won't quite rise to the level of, say, a Yellow Jacket sting, where, like, it itches and it burns and it hooves up and maybe you have to go and get an EpiPen or something. But it'll be annoying, like maybe being bitten by a mosquito that is not an Anopheles mosquito and isn't carrying anything particularly disgusting, it just disease-wise. It just kind of makes you feel ooky and itch and scratch and annoyed. I'm sure, take solace where you can find it, y'all. I'm sure that Rupi and Lockie are still upset about the $787.5 million that they will be parting with, and which will have to probably show up in the financial reporting for the precious, precious shareholders. And frankly, if someone holds stock in News Corp, I can't think of enough bad things to happen to them. But this is a start. Smartmatic will be another bad thing that can happen to them, and also will not bother me. Thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs is offering the $25 Dominion settlement. We can at least finish last Tuesday's fundraising challenge. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you so much. Hopefully someone will match that in short order, and we'll get moving. It'd be great. Theo with a note about that settlement, a question or two. Hey, lady. Hey, Theo. Does the Dominion settlement preclude subsequent civil actions by provably injured parties? One can envision a nibbled to death by ducks scenario. I'm sorry. I just got a little mental image of Rupi and all 92 years of him being harried and harassed by ducks. Dominion can only settle with Fox for the harm that Dominion claimed in its lawsuit to have suffered. And, of course, there will be no admission of liability. And the lawyers knew this. Okay, this is one of those moments where people who don't move around in the thin oxygen of the rarefied parts of the legal atmosphere don't necessarily fully grasp how important money is to lawyers. When I said a minute ago that the Dominion lawyers were probably looking at the Dominion corporate folks, and are you out of your freaking minds? You want to go to trial? There's $787.5 million on the table. It is my fiduciary duty to you as your counsel to remind you that you can lose this case. Juries do all kinds of weird stuff all the time. Take the money. And it might have sounded a little bit like that. Because there's no guarantee, there is no such thing as a sure thing when a jury gets impaneled. I don't care if it's a red car, blue car, rear ender. And I select the term of rear ender. Because I don't know of any jurisdictions in the United States where this doesn't obtain, but in a rear ender, you get hit from the rear in an automobile, liability is established. The person who hits the person from the rear is liable. Then it becomes a question of damages. And all manner of things can affect a jury's willingness to award sufficient damages. I mean, the weather. A juror had an argument with their partner before coming to court that day. Another juror is worried about the dusty, apparently poorly watered potted plant in the jury room. I'm not kidding. Juries are bizarre. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, honesty. Not a ton of money in truth-telling, I guess. Low life, lying, and destroying the social fabric. Well, we got some loose change over in this sock. Will $787.5 million be enough to make these lawyers go away? Sure take the sting out of being having this case settled. No, Emilio, not anymore we don't. Maybe we used to. What, Robin? You don't have a petty billions drawer? I've already told, I can't even tell you how long ago it was that we sold off the Gulfstream 5. They dismantled the hangar and took it to some billionaire's enclave in China. The landscape guy and the pool guy ran off together. The cabana was blown away in a derecho. We had to pave over the Olympic-sized pancreas-shaped swimming pool. Hard times. Hard times. So no petty billions drawer. I wish. But one of the things that, and I mentioned this in yesterday's program, Dominion had already abandoned its claim for some $600 million in lost revenue, or said that they would not present evidence thereof. So the $787.5 million, if that remained the case, the $787.5 million is not lost revenue. The $787.5 million is reputational harm. And I guess knowing that people would be disgusted with the settlement here, people who badly wanted to see there be some kind of public airing of just how awful Fox News TV Radio Rwanda is and has been. Well, the Dominion lawyer, stood outside the courthouse there in Delaware and put a brave $787.5 million face on it.
Justin Nelson from Sussman Godfrey, proud counsel for Dominion Voting Systems. The truth matters. Lies have consequences. Over 2 years ago, a torrent of lies swept Dominion and election officials across America into an alternative universe of conspiracy theories, causing grievous harm to Dominion and the country. Today's settlement of $787,500,000 represents vindication and accountability. Lies have consequences. The truth does not know red or blue. People across the political spectrum can and should disagree on issues, even of the most profound importance. But
time out. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord. Kumbaya. Sorry.
For our democracy to endure for another 250 years and hopefully much longer, we must share a commitment to facts. Misinformation will not go away. It may only get worse. This litigation cannot solve all problems. All of us remain ever vigilant to find common factual ground. Today represents a ringing endorsement for truth and for democracy.
And for my chalet in the Swiss Alps. What is the epigram at the beginning of Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird? Lawyers, too, I suppose, were children once. I think it was from Charles Lamb. Well, he's trying. Oh, well. It is a great day for that law firm. Holy crap. I remember my torts professor a million years ago talking about the grizzled old guy, former Marine, smoked Marlboro Reds in the law school lecture hall, would put them out in the chalk tray of the blackboard. This was before we were bringing computers to school, kids. He'd say, and you'll be there. You'll be there in your rented office space with a naked light bulb depending from the ceiling on a single wire, with the desk you bought at a state surplus sale, and the chair, the really hard chair, and you're a struggling young lawyer. And your client will come in and you'll realize that everything has fallen into place. You'll take down the information. You'll see it's a great case. You'll see them out. Get them to sign the attorney-client agreement. Once they leave and you've seen them drive away, you will turn back around into your office. You will turn out the light bulb that is depending from a single cord hanging naked over your barren office. You will lock the door, you will walk out, and you will go and price the blue Buicks, because you have arrived. Oh, golly Moses, how long has that stuck with me? That would be 1988. Flavio? Hun? If you try to put lipstick on that pig, please don't. I'm angry as fuck as it is. Maybe you have a cocktail? There, maybe we should blame the media for this. Maybe I'm at fault. This thing was probably never going to trial, but and it is not at all surprising that, well, yeah, the lawyers waited and saw exactly what the lay of the land was going to be. The judge gave some leeway or gave some hope to the plaintiffs. But also at the same time, the judge said, no, we're not going to mention January the 6th. And then they did their voir dire. They selected the jury. They selected the alternates. They seated the jury. And then all of a sudden it got very, very real. And they were ready for opening statements and calling witnesses. Why, Your Honor, we need to have a little settlement conference. And so $787.5 million plus the $600 million that they gave up, that's $1.387 billion if my ciphering is correct. Pretty sure it is. And Matt in San Francisco gets it. Dominion lawyer. Lies have consequences. And I'm getting myself a nice Maserati. Thank you for coming. I always think of, what was it, Sammy Hagar saying, a Maserati, a Maserati. I don't know. If you're going Italian and you got that kind of money, wouldn't you really go Ferrari? Wouldn't you? I mean, he looks old enough to be having his midlife crisis. Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia Stan says, juries, Robin, you're correct about the unpredictability of a jury. I've witnessed this firsthand. I got seated on a conspiracy to commit a double murder trial. The forewoman was ready to throw first-degree murder at the defendant long before any deliberation even began, simply because she had a family trip to Disney World planned and did not want the deliberations to cancel and or delay her visit with the mouse. Your Honor, I rest my case. Anybody who's ever seen 12 Angry People started out life as 12 Angry Men. But anybody who's ever seen 12 Angry People, that's a pretty good approximation of some of the dynamics that can take place inside a jury room. Lawyers generally don't get to be jurors, so it's like lawyers are forever studying how jurors behave. They hire jury specialists to delve deep, but in the final analysis, you don't know. And if there is 700, and I'm not talking about the public's need or our democracy's need. It's been a long time since I mentioned the fact that I smirk every time I hear our democracy. Reminder, aspirational, not operational. But, no. Our democracy was not a party to this lawsuit. Okay? I mean, it wasn't. You weren't in the room. I wasn't in the room. Our democracy, you know, only a bill on Capitol Hill was not sitting humming quietly to itself back in the back corner of the courtroom. This was more like that Abe Vigoda line from The Godfather.
Tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business.
That's all it is. It's business. Darlene in Connecticut pointing out, it appears the settlement doesn't include an announcement on Fox News that they lied about the 2020 election and or a disclaimer that what they're telling you for every pathetic show is opinion only and unreliable as fact and factual news. No, it's not there. Fox News gets to deny liability. But what else is new, Darlene asks. I'm never surprised at continuing to be disappointed in the lack of comeuppances in this aspirational democracy that always puts profit before people. Onward! Yeah, onward to Smartmatic, who are looking for $2.6 billion. So this means that Rupi and Lockie get to work on their strokes a little bit more. But I'm sure they've got some dirty money squirreled away in a series of numbered bank accounts in Switzerland. And even if somehow or another because understand something about an ad damnum clause, you know, the part of the lawsuit where you ask for X amount of money. Just because you ask for $2.6 billion doesn't mean that the jury is going to give you the $2.6 billion. I've watched lawyers go and try car wreck cases and come away with a win and a dollar. $1. And so a bird in the hand, better than two in the bush. Lee in New York, settlement versus trial. My realization, I believe that the Exxon Valdez case stayed in the courts without payment for over 2 decades. Yeah. Sounds about right. And the Exxon Valdez case, of course, gutted the fundamental concept of punitive damages in the country. Oh, Randy Radar, you think I can't divide that by three? $787.5 million divided by three? 18.6, 18.051. That would be 261.1 something million dollars if the law firm was on a contingent fee agreement. I don't know. That's between Dominion and the dude who's pricing Swiss chalets in Stade. And Jack says, that $750-ish million is going to help our lobbyists buy a hell of a lot of politicians' votes. Dominion's going to get to increase their market share and increase their revenue stream. That's the same revenue stream they apparently couldn't prove was impacted by Fox's bad stories and so decided not to involve in their suit. By the way, I was really pissed off that we, the people's election precincts and voters, were simply referred to as customers. And the owner of the company referred to his usurpation of we, the people's vote counting as my company. Jerks. Yeah. I mean, if there's anybody left in this little family community congregation who does not yet realize that a capitalist economic system, a capitalist country, is going to yield a capitalist political system, raise your hand, stay after school, and clean the erasers on the brick wall outside, okay? You can use the erasers and make lots of little dollar signs just to sort of remind you. Lee says, my jury duty history. I was twice selected for a jury, both settled just prior to the court proceedings. Civil cases often do, and even criminal cases. It is the pressure of the trial that is designed to lead to settlements. Courts aren't really there to try cases. Courts are there to get the parties to come to an amicable agreement. Oh, and speaking of court cases, Clanny Granny's kid, Lauren Bobblehead Boobert's kid, was supposed to be in court earlier this week. That would be last week. Tyler Boobert, oldest son of the Clanny Granny, was cited on September 17th for careless driving causing bodily injury. His guest passenger in the car was injured and required hospitalization. And he was supposed to show up for court-ordered appearance in the Alive at 25 Driver Awareness Program in Colorado. A source somewhere in the fever swamp that is the office of Lauren Bobblehead Boobert confirmed that Clanny Granny didn't know that her boy was had missed court. Well, at least he wasn't arrested for flashing his dingus at an underage girl in a bowling alley. See? Victory has many forms. Noble D'Amato was the friend of Tyler Boebert. Got an ugly cut on his hand in a late-night collision when Tyler Boebert flipped his daddy's SUV into a creek bed. And Noble D'Amato was riding shotgun. And Noble D'Amato said, "Really? Like, what the fuck? What else are you doing? Like, go to your court date, dude." I'd try to be like, "Oh, fuck, I should be on my best behavior." Not even the best behavior. I'd just try to be responsible. And so when the media outlet, that would be an outfit called Westword, W-O-R-D, see what they did there, reported on it, and a reporter reached out to Boebert's office. They responded, "If you want to write a hit piece on a politician's son, go after Hunter Biden." You know, there are just days. And by that, I mean, there are days that when I'm out and about and running errands and whatnot, and I drive by the liquor store and I go, no, we're not. This is going to be another day we don't go and get the bottle of cheap tequila. Because, you know, those BPAs in those swirly straws, it's just not a great idea. "You want to go after a politician, son? Go after Hunter Biden." Oh, shut up. And so, you know, Smartmatic 2 will probably have their day in court. Well played, Randy Radar. Citing Steely Dan. I don't know if you're out there, Lady B, but we got a Steely Dan citation here, so I had to tell you. "Drink Scotch whiskey all night long and die behind the wheel." They got a name for the losers. The winners in the world. I want a name when I lose. They call Alabama the Crimson Tide. Call me Deacon Blues. Deacon Blues. Deacon Blues. Call me Deacon Blues. You can't just fling a Steely Dan reference out there and not have me respond to it. I'm sorry. Some things were not lost in transition. Emilio, and you get a dollar, and you get a dollar, and that's it. You're just getting a dollar. Yeah, the original Oprah giveaway didn't get very good ratings. And Steve from Georgistan is being calm and cool and collected about it. "As bad as it stings, we need to let this go. No need in fretting over things that we have no control over. Even if Fox News would have been financially busted like any mob boss, there will be another entity waiting to take their place, in this case, Newsmuck or Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground." Yeah, there's a market, and capitalism and the market abhor a vacuum. There is demand. People want to be lied to. And so this is just part of our future. part of our present, part of our future. And it just is. Lee in New York said, if the appeals process would not extend by Barron Trump's death by old age, the people wronged might live to collect. Yeah. Barron Trump's death. But that mind of yours, Lee. With the special master being appointed by the judge, will that do anything? Not really, Ralphs. Not really. But there is some more court news for this Titanic Tuesday. It's hard to believe, and it's one of those I remember where I was moments. Annette and I were actually on the road and in the summer of 2017 when the Unite the Right rally went down in Charlottesville, when the little tiki torch carrying Nazis marched in defense of a Virginia man who had a taste for beating enslaved people. I'm talking about old Bobby Lee. Oh, before I go there, Steve in New York, I needed a lawyer's perspective here. Subject line, Dominion. I get people's consternation. However, those two words, actual malice, are very important and very, very hard to prove. Remember that the judge already said that Fox lied, but it still required a trial. I suspect that cases establishing actual malice, especially between corporations, are few and far between. What we do have is a finding that Fox lied. Honestly, Democrats should pound that home every minute of every day, and I agree. Fox News, which was recently found by a court of competent jurisdiction to be liars... See how it works? And, you know, MSNBC probably will once in a while, here and there. I'm going to make sure that I wake up nice and early for my filthy morning habit, because, hell, after the Dominion verdict, Joe might even come to work tomorrow. He's got the best gig on earth. You want to come to work today, Joe? Nah, I don't feel like it. I was out late jamming with the boys. But you're right, Steve. And there's one other thing to consider in all of this as well. Even assuming that the actual malice standard was met, and even under wonderful circumstances like Rupi getting on the stand in Delaware and testifying, and Rupi getting so wrought that he clutched at his chest and had a massive, massive heart attack, and it literally exploded out of his withered old dried up husk of a chest, and he died right there in the courtroom. Even with all of that, it would have still been appealable. And it would have made its way to the Supreme Court of the United States, where there sits to this day an entirely, wholly, and totally, and utterly, completely, undeniably dirty, corrupt, crooked as a dog's hind leg, justice or four. Who, it just so happens, are probably of a similar mindset to that of Nitwit Nero, who desperately wants to see the defamation laws of this country rewritten. It doesn't get the play that, say, women's reproductive health does, but the standards set forth in New York Times versus Sullivan and Falwell v. Hustler are a fetish object for the right wing in this country. And let's remember, Hustler ultimately won at the Supreme Court in Falwell v. Hustler.
Because Jerry Falwell was so upset with the ad that Larry Flint ran in Hustler. It was a parody ad, and it said it was a parody ad, but in that advertisement that was a parody advertisement, Jerry Falwell was deeply, deeply aggrieved and harmed because that ad purported to quote Jerry Falwell about the first time when, whacked out of his mind on Campari and soda, he had sex with his mother in an outhouse.
And even that was not enough to impose liability. And it is viewed as a great victory for the First Amendment. I can't help but think that the ultimate irony in all of that is that, well, I only wish Jerry had lived to see the day that he found out about his son, Jerry Jr., sitting over there with a tennis ball in his mouth and a little bit of duct tape, naked as the day he was born, watching his hot wife, Becca, get done by the pool boy. Maybe Jerry got to watch from the great beyond. You know, Satan going, hey, Jerry, come here. Now put down the pineapple. Come here. Look at this. Yeah, that's your boy. That's the Christian man you raised. Yeah, see him there? See the tennis ball? See the drool? Yeah. How awesome is that? Good times. But to go back to August of 2017, August the 11th, 2017, all the little Nazis marching in Charlottesville to defend a man who enjoyed beating the daylights out of enslaved people for, you know, daring to want to be free. And Heather Heyer getting murdered in the process. Well, lo, behold, and yea verily, the Associated Press and their reporter Denise Lavoie reporting earlier today that although it's been 6 years in the making, a grand jury in the Old Dominion, Virginia, has indicted several people on felonies for their tiki torch parade. Because the intent of their tiki torch parade was to intimidate people. Commonwealth's attorney, a guy named James Hingley in Richmond, Albemarle County. I'm sorry, Albemarle County is not Richmond, that's Charlottesville. He didn't say how many people got indicted, but three have been unsealed. William Zachary Smith of Nakona, Texas, Tyler Bradley Dykes of Bluffton, South Carolina, and Dallas Medina of Ravenna, Ohio. That last one could get really confusing because it could have been Dallas Ravenna of Medina, Ohio, because there's a golf course in Medina. Never mind. Dallas Medina of Ravenna, Ohio. Those three stand charged with one count of burning an object with the intent of intimidating a person or group of people. The max penalty on that felony is 5 years in the stir in the Old Dominion. the indictments came down in February, but they've only recently been unsealed. James Alex Fields, Jr., a white supremacist, also from the Buckeye State, was the one who rammed his car into Heather Heyer. Which, curiously, in a first reference, and this is just a journalism thing, the Associated Press couldn't be bothered to mention her name. Dozens were injured. James Alex Fields has already been tried and sentenced and convicted, and he's doing life for murder and hate crimes. Prosecutors said,
part of a criminal investigation that's active and ongoing. This is our process. Regardless of how much time has passed or where the alleged offenders may be found.
Or may not. So, well, the very
fine people,
at least some of them, have been indicted. It's kind of a courtroom Titanic Tuesday as we approach the end of the first hour of the program with $25 in a challenge on the table, courtesy of Ralph's, that would, if met, finally finish last Tuesday's funding. Kind of hoping it would have been met by now. By the way, please, if you're listening to the podcast, like and subscribe wherever you're listening. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, whatever they do on Android, Podcast Republic. I remember that one because Roger mentioned it. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Just say hi. We had a hello on Podbean today. I appreciate the hello. Hi. And over on TuneIn, thank you, Bernadette, press that little heart button on TuneIn, and eventually we will have 1,000 unique listeners. Look out, Joe Rogaine! But Joe Tacopina, the pettifogger representing Nitwit Nero, in E. Jean Carroll's defamation case against him? Well, there's going to be anonymous jury selection in that case. It's being held in federal court. And Joe Tacopina started asking questions about the jury selection process and said he should be allowed to observe all stages of the selection process.
Well, here's the thing.
The court actually had a meeting to go over the jury selection process. And the court is trying not to display any outbursts of pique that might prove to be grounds for appeal. And said that Judge Kaplan said, I take what I understand to be material inaccuracies in Mr. Tacopina's letter to be misunderstandings attributable to the fact that Mr. Tacopina was not present at the meeting attended by the deputy clerk, Mr. Mohan, and other counsel. The court nevertheless provides the following information concerning the proceedings on Tuesday. And laid it all out again. And said this is identical in substance to the manner in which juries were selected in this court during the COVID pandemic. Counsel for both sides have been requested to submit proposed voir dire questions, and both have done so. The court naturally is taking those requests into account in formulating its examination of prospective jurors. That's a little humiliating. Well, I mean, you know, if you were an ordinary, normal human being. Not. One more thing about Dominion, Stephen New York says.
Even if the jury found liability in favor of Dominion, then comes the issue of damages. Again, very hard to prove. An equally bad, if not worse, outcome would be a jury finding of liability with an award of $1 in compensatory damages. Again, that is a thing that sometimes happens. Matt in San Francisco, White Supreme. And they ruined tiki torches, too. It was a perfectly acceptable garden accessory. Kept the bugs away, you know, when you use the citronella. Added an island feel, but no, we can't have that either. Hey, you know what, Matt? We can reclaim tiki torches. We've reclaimed worse. Reclaim the tiki torches. And Matt sent this along. Oh, my goodness gracious. Is this happening like now, dude? Yes, it's a... Multiple injured and multiple people are trapped after a parking garage in New York City collapses in Manhattan. A woman could be heard screaming, "Get out," as frightening footage shows vehicles stacked on top of one another amongst crumbling concrete. Multiple people trapped after the floor of a parking garage collapsed onto another. That happened this afternoon. The death and injury toll is said to possibly be changing rapidly. Neighboring buildings are being evacuated. 57 Ann Street between Nassau Street and William Street in Lower Manhattan, 4:15 p.m. People also trapped in an elevator shaft that caved in. Floors pancaked on top of each other. Oh, that's bad. That's an understatement, Robin. But parking garage? Is this one of the parking garages Alina Habana 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 was counsel for? And curiously enough, we had a story the other day about how the NYPD was going to be putting robot dogs to work. Mayor Eric Adams, scourge of rats, said a robotic dog was sent into the building because it was unstable. At this time, this building is completely unstable, and the chief, we do not want to send in someone until we can make sure the building is shored up. And a parking attendant told a reporter for the Daily Mail, "I've been telling him something like this was going to happen." According to the reporting, it is the location of Enterprise and Parking, close to New York City Hall. Sometimes I hate this ironic stuff. Darlene said, "Yeah, the parking garage collapse hit the news as you were going to air. Infrastructure, infrastructure, infrastructure." And I'm sure both Nitwit Nero and Ron Monkey Up Declantis are planning infrastructure week for the very first moment they're in the White House in 2025. Of the collapse, Steve in New York says, one person dead, multiple injured. And that will probably get worse, sad to say. And I guess over on the multimillionaire for-profit news, the experts are, again, trying to pretty up the Dominion case over at CNN. They, people talking to Jake Tapper said, oh, this is, wow, that was perfect, imperfect timing. People talking to Jake Tapper said, in true Jed Clampett form, "Wheel doggies."
It wasn't just the company. Individuals were threatened. Physical harm was threatened. The lives of employees who were simply just trying to do their jobs. It's a heck of a message to send today.
Yeah, and there are other cases going on. I believe those two election workers in Georgia are suing the right-wing website for lying about them. Ellie, the Fox statement did not have an apology to its viewers or to Dominion. It did have this one line, quote, "We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false." So translated, that means Fox acknowledges that they aired and pushed lies about Dominion. Is that what that means?
Yeah, translated, it means we got caught lying by the judge. And I think that's exactly why we are seeing this absolutely jaw-dropping number. I mean, let's be clear. This is an unequivocal rebuke of Fox News, of their reporting, of their quote-unquote journalism. I don't know. I'm not exactly a historian, but I don't believe I've ever seen a jury verdict or a settlement on the amount of $787 million. Now, yes, this is half of what Dominion was asking, but as you and I have discussed on air, I didn't think there was any way they would get $1.6 billion, even when they proved their case, even if they proved it overwhelmingly to a jury. Let's remember, by its own estimation, Dominion valued the entire company at somewhere between $30 and $80 million. This settlement is 10 times the value of Dominion as an entire company. That's how strong a statement this is with this
There's
number.
There's that damages thing. Yeah. There's your 10 times the value of Dominion. That's reputational harm. But they also achieved another end, Dominion did. It will probably be a long time, whether it's in the settlement documents or not, before the words Dominion voting and systems are all said sequentially on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Because they don't want any more of that. And by the way, again, the Smartmatic case is for some $2.6 billion. And it makes you wonder if the lawyers, hey, would you like to have $787.5 million too? We can do that. That'd mean that we'd have, let's see, that'd mean we'd still have like $2.5 billion in the petty billions drawer. Yeah. And then this, just because the goddess of irony, well, she never sleeps. You ever heard of a guy named Kent Sturman? I hadn't. Well, back in December, because sometimes the news cycle isn't 15 microseconds long. Back in December, Kent Sturman unalived himself on purpose. Kent Sturman was apparently a really disgusting dude bro guy. Kent Sturman was from Jacksonville, Florida, and he was, well, there's only one word for this, grooming an underage girl. And Kent Sturman was, of course, a wealthy white man. And he told the underage girl that, yes, he, Kent Sturman, powerful and wealthy white dude bro, would get her tickets to see Taylor Swift. This is just so fucking nauseating. But remember, he's dead. Yay. He would give her a pair of Taylor Swift tickets if she would send him a picture of her breasts. Her underage teenage girl breasts. And we're talking about Taylor Swift tickets here, and those things are fungible right up there with the... I mean, a lot of liquidity in Taylor Swift tickets these days. And so the young girl, underage, finally said, okay, and she took a selfie without her top on and sent it along to Kent Sturman, wealthy business dude of Jacksonville, Florida. At which point, Ken Sturman could have said, okay, I'm a wealthy white business dude. I'm having them sent to you by courier. They'll be right. And no, he said, all right, baby. I need you to come and pick them up at my office. And so she showed up at his office. And then he said, here they are. Show me the real thing. Show daddy. And she said no. And eventually he let her go. And to her credit, she went home and she told her daddy about it. And she told her boyfriend about it. Her daddy arranged a meeting with Kent Sturman at a diner and was not nice about it. He was furious, as any decent father would be. Kent Sturman offered money to daddy to shut up about it because, you know, wealthy white dude bro guys always have hush money. Let's just not talk about this. I can make this go away. What would $1 million do? I mean, I don't know what the number was. But again, to his credit, the father said, fuck you, buddy. And got ready to presumably go public. So back in December, Kent Sturman killed himself. I'm having a hard time being upset about this. He was 50 years old. He offered them, no, not $1 million. It was a five-figure hush money deal. And yeah, daddy called the cops. And all of this would be kind of, you know, just another creepy white dude bro groomer if it weren't for one particularly salient fact. Kent Sturman is a donor to the Republican Party in Florida, who had given a good bit of money to Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. And had been a big-time supporter. There's a picture of Kent Sturman smiling like a fox eating shit out of a wire brush, standing right next to Ron Monkey Up DeSantis. And, God, Monkey Up looks like he's a good 2 inches taller than Kent Sturman. And so sometime in December, he got in his truck, his pick-em-up truck, and put a pistol on one side of his head and blew his brains out the other side. He left a note, sis and blank, I love you both too much to put you through this. You are better without me. Go find your version of blank, blank, and be happy. And apparently, Mr. Sturman liked to run his mouth about how much power he could wield. The Daily Mail, being a tawdry thing, shows, among other things, a photograph of the freedom protector he used to do himself. They report that Sturman was an immensely powerful behind-the-scenes figure in DeSantis' rise, having had a major impact in catapulting him to the governor's mansion in Tallahassee in 2018. The following year, DeSantis... Oh, dear God. The following year, DeSantis appointed his friend to the Board of Governors, which is responsible for Florida's public university system. DeSantis also put him on his transition team, and for a while, DeSantis rented a condo co-owned by Sturman. One political reporter in Florida, A.G. Gankarski, said, "You wouldn't have Ron DeSantis as governor without Kent Sturman. He was big with everything in the local party and the state party." His wife found out he was dead when the clinic called him to say that his heart monitor, because at 50 years old his heart was in a bad way, the clinic called his wife to tell him the heart monitor wasn't reporting anything. So he drove out to Atlantic Beach, Florida, and did himself. DeClantis and his wife, Casey, whom he married at Disney World, by the way, issued a statement and said they were shocked and saddened to hear of Kent's passing, and their prayers are with his family during this difficult time. Gromer! Sorry. I guess this makes me a bad person, but... I thought this was... Wait. Oh, he's heterosexual. Okay. Okay, I see now. I understand. He's not a groomer if he's heterosexual. He's just a health... Well, a red-blooded American male who likes to look at the breasts of underage girls. I understand that. Subject line, suicide. Suicide stories are usually really sad. I appreciate the twist with this one. I may have more spiritual progress to make. Matt, we're all works in progress. But if we had a functioning journalism system in this country, and why do I bother going any further than that? Somebody would be pestering Monkey Up DeClantis every time he shows up in public. Hey, Ron, how about your buddy the groomer that blew his fucking brains out because he was trying to get a look at the titties of an underage girl, Ron? Was he a groomer, Ron? You and your wife, Casey, sent thoughts and prayers Did you send any thoughts and prayers to the little girl he was trying to sexually abuse, Ron? They're just so gross. Oh, and by the way, and this won't touch a lot of people, but it touches me, and it touches people that matter to me. The folks over there at that blue checkmark place, owned by Leon Scum, announced today that they are rescinding the policy against dead naming. And for those who don't know, and I don't think there's too many people in this community who don't, dead naming is that process whereby people who hate people like me use people's former names, especially when they have gone to considerable lengths to separate themselves from their former lives. Well, the policy that used to be in place in Twitter against dead naming that would get a tweet removed, and it's not just dead naming, it's misgendering, referring to trans men as with she, her, or trans girls as he, him. That whole policy is now gone. Which means, to the extent that Twitter was not safe for trans people to begin with, it is even less so now. And yesterday, the folks there in San Francisco said, they're only going to put warning labels on some tweets that are potentially in violation of the rules against hateful conduct. Prior to that, they were just flat out removed. Sarah Kate Ellis, the president and CEO of the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, said Twitter's decision to covertly roll back its longtime policy is the latest example of just how unsafe the company is for users and advertisers alike. This decision to roll back LGBTQ safety pulls Twitter even more out of step with TikTok, Pinterest, and Meta, which all maintain similar policies to protect their transgender users at a time when anti-transgender rhetoric online is leading to real-world discrimination and violence. Good God, Joanne Rowling is probably dancing in the streets. And Maya Forstatter and Graham Linehan or whatever his name is. All those transphobic goons. And this really is life or death in the real world for a lot of trans people. I had a note from our dear friend Haley. Who told me that even after having been on that platform for rather a long time, 2009, I've requested my archive of Twitter posts and will soon be deactivating from that toxic platform. I've been there since April 2009, but thanks to Captain Krugerrand and his last few moves, I'll be leaving. I've not posted a tweet since March 1st. The rolling back of the dead naming policy and the labeling of NPR in the same category as Russian Sputnik Radio were the last straws. And Haley, I don't know if you're listening, but I don't know if requesting your archive is going to make any difference because they swear up and down they get rid of it. I don't believe them. I don't believe it. Because Leon Scum is entirely too hateful an individual. It was just a couple of days ago that Leon announced that he was of the opinion that, oh, let me find it. Yeah, he suggested that physicians who provide gender-affirming care to young trans kids should go to prison for life. Last Friday, he began a spasm of following accounts known for their overt transphobia and Big Tech Alert and Them publication. Jumped out by following Chaya Raichik, who was largely responsible for getting the whole groomer spasm going again, among others. And then tweeted, any parent or doctor who sterilizes a child before they're a consenting adult should go to prison for life. Curiously, he didn't tweet that the same thing should be done for creepy, skeevy old, say, 50-year-old guys who want to pay for boob jobs for underage girls. And frankly, Twitter cannot die fast enough. Something will, again, it's like what we were talking about with Dominion. Something will fill the vacuum. And this petulant, toxic dweeb is working out his butthurtery over the fact that his wife left him for a trans girl and his daughter transitioned, changed her name, got the scum name off of the end of hers, and said she never wants to have contact with him again. And I hope she's okay, because I don't trust him not to do something vile. So there's that. Going back to the parking garage in New York City, Lee says, I know that area. City Hall is a triangular area bounded by Chambers Street, Broadway, and Park Row. Where Broadway and Park Row meet is Ann Street. At that intersection, you are across Broadway from St. Paul's Chapel, a colonial church where September 11th first responders rested. If you walk east a block on Ann Street, you're at Nassau Street. One more block is William Street. FYI, if you walk south on Nassau Street, you eventually are in front of the New York Stock Exchange, Broad Street. Interesting insofar as, you know, there were threats associated with Nitwit Nero's appearance in New York, and I don't mean threats against Nitwit Nero. Threats. There have been multiple threats against officials, especially with the district attorney's office in Manhattan. Twitter, dead naming, Steve in New York says, why don't they just get rid of all policies and have one policy entitled Be As Big a Dick as You Want to Be? I wonder if this is an indication that Noel Mucus's platform is losing subscribers and is trying to bring the maggot flies back to his cyber flypaper. You know what? That's pretty good thinking, Steve, because I don't know. Might there be a merger with that rickety failing platform of Nitwit Nero's? I had, not too long back, I had a note from Joy in Ann Arbor. Who wants to refer to Nitwit Nero's rickety platform now as Tripe Social. I haven't seen this anywhere, so I'm going to put it out there so that we can make it a thing. I'm physically unable to utter the words Truth Social. So please let's make Tripe Social a thing. So there it is, Tripe Social. And just going back to the whole, because this Joyce sends me some just wonderful thoughts on Messenger, and I'm always a sucker for a Shakespeare reference. I played Olivia in Twelfth Night twice, 10 years apart, once in Texas for Shakespeare in the Park and once for Shakespeare at the Met in Jacksonville. There was no kiss in the Texas production, but there was for the show in Jacksonville. The viola to my Olivia was played by a Royal Academy-trained lesbian who looked exactly like Roger Daltrey. First time I read that, and the second time, it takes a second. She was fabulous and actually excelled in choreographing sword fights. Anyway, when it was time to rehearse the kissing scene, she was teasing me, saying I was too scared to kiss a woman. I said, I'll have you know, I'm a consummate professional. When the moment came in that rehearsal, I laid a really awesome kiss on her. She was very impressed with my bravery, LOL. I'd never kissed a woman before, but I guess it helped that she looked like a handsome dude. I don't know. But what cracked me up was I said, Jacksonville will shit its pants when they see this. And she said, a straight woman kissing a lesbian who's playing a girl who's pretending to be a guy. Jacksonville won't know what the fuck they're even seeing. It was a fun production. Several lesbians were in the cast and crew, and one night I accompanied them and a handful of gay guys and one straight guy to a lesbian bar. It was very interesting. Closing, Joy says, God, isn't diversity fun? Yeah, it is. It is. And I was reminded of Joy's note when I brought up Kent, what's his dead. Now I'm sure the Klaniacs in Jacksonville would have a hissy over something like that, but you know, a creepy old white dude trying to bribe a underage girl to show her breasts to him in person in exchange for some Taylor Swift tickets. Yeah. Shit, y'all, that's just Florida. Oh, and thank you so much, Kevin. Kevin in Colorado Springs met Ralph's challenge. And so that means, wow, hallelujah, we are down. We're fully funded for last Tuesday. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Ralph's. And onward to Wednesday. Before if we could finish last Wednesday before tomorrow gets here, that would be fan-freaking-tastic. I won't lie. And we're at the halfway point of the program, so might as well go to the phones and see what's going on. Let's go to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Darling, Robin, how are you?
It's Jerry. Scary Jerry. What's happening?
You know what? I was just kind of hiding out in the preliminary. Yeah, you mentioned Florida too many times. You know?
Well, it's kind of easy these days. Jerry, can you do that tech thing where you make your phone not stop breaking up? One of these days, you know what? One of these days, I'm just going to get an iPhone for the stress line phone, and maybe some of this will go away. Nah, you're still broken. It may be on my end, and I'm not making stuff up either. I mean, this phone has barely ever been used. I'm not kidding. I mean, it just sits here in the studio. It seldom goes anywhere. I tell you what, Jerry, I got somebody on the other line. I will. How about you dial back in, okay? I'm going to take that as a yes. That was a yes. Lee in New York says, potential merger. If Twitter and Truth Social merged, it could be named, wait for it, I'm reaching for the cowbell now. Twit Social. And that in San Francisco says, Elon, so in a fit, you pay $40 billion for a company worth $20 billion, and then you destroy it because you're angry, but you're a genius and women are emotional. Noted. That's two. I don't think Leon's okay. Really, really, I don't. All right, let's leave the stress line and go over and see if it works on if we have any luck on Skype. You there, Scott?
Hey, Robin, how are you?
I'm great. You're not breaking up or anything. That's a win.
Oh no,
and that's not me gooning on Jerry. I really am. I'm getting to the point where I feel like it's probably my phone.
Well, I don't know.
Because Android, I've never had any luck with Android.
I am just doing my very best. I paid my phone bill, my iPhone bill, last night, early this morning, and I'm good for another month. So what can I tell you? The funny thing about Twitter, and I know I looked into it, a good 10 years ago. It was whenever I
was it a good 10 years, Scott? Was it really a good 10 years?
Well, they're all good years if you've made it through.
If you're above the dirt, yes, they are.
That's right. You know, upright and above ground. But I, at the time, the limit on messages was like 140 characters. And anything that I would say or that is even worth saying, whether I'd say it or not, I couldn't see confining myself to that type of limitation. And I think it was around the same time that I joined Facebook, which was like 2008 or 9, something like that. It might have been. I don't know. Time sort of melts together like old candle wax, you know?
Yeah.
After a while, you just don't know. You know, it's hard to tell one day from another without.
I was thinking, I think it was like around 2006, maybe. When my buddy Kyle, who is no longer with us, he was one of my besties. One of the few people I ever told about myself, and he kept the secret. And, wow. 2006, I was visiting down in Alabama, and he's like, dude, you got to get on MySpace.
Oh, God, MySpace.
You got to get on MySpace. It's you know... Just understand, everybody there has the mentality of a 13-year-old.
And the selling point is what again?
Just, well, at that point in time, it was the program was very young, the network was very young, and it was about, you know, trying to build a listener base.
Yeah, but who wants a room full of 13-year-olds?
Well, it wasn't a room full of 13-year-olds. It was a room full of people behaving like 13-year-olds. That was the whole point.
I didn't have much luck at it when I was 13.
And so true. Yeah. And so what?
I think two, three
years later, I'm on Facebook.
Yeah, now, you know, even before Facebook and MySpace and Twitters and tweets and stuff, there was a thing that I got onto. God, I can't even remember when. I want to say around 2002 or three, something like that. LiveJournal. Does anybody remember?
Oh God, I remember. That was just a blogging platform, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I had posted so many things on that thing, and then at some point along the way, it got acquired by a Russian company, which was around the time that I got onto Facebook, and I said, well, I am just going to kind of let everything stand at LiveJournal and not participate anymore. Because I forget what the arrangement was, but you could do stuff on it for free. But if you wanted extra little icons to put up next to your screen name or whatever. You could buy those. And I'm thinking, why do I want to put my payment information in the hands of anybody in that sector of the global galaxy, once the Russians took hold of it? So I just kind of, but all of my stuff is apparently up there. And I still have friends from that era, who follow me on Facebook today. That's not why I called, I don't guess.
I didn't figure it was, but...
Why the hell did I call?
That's, I'm not going to be any help with that.
Oh, I see. Well, okay. I don't know. I'm happy about the Dominion deal, but...
Wait, you're happy?
Well, that Fox is going to have to pay, what is it, like $750 million?
Yeah.
That's money out of their pocket, which is fine by me. But see, the thing is, it's farting against thunder. That's why I called. You were listing some of the other outlets that are probably even worse than Fox News out there, spreading disinformation and misinformation and just all sorts of unhappy horseshit. And it's like whack-a-mole, Okay, so we caused one organization, one propaganda organization, to do something in the realm of responsibility as corporate citizens. But what good is it? I mean, when it comes right down to it, you've got 800,000 other outlets that are as bad or worse, and you can't take them all to court. Well, I guess you could. It would be you'd need legal fees. You'd have to live in a fucking office max to keep stocked up in legal pads and pens and whiteout and all that shit, But with who am I kidding? Man, never going to happen. I wish I were more upbeat and positive. I'm feeling better, which I think has been part of the problem all along. I'm not quite out of the woods yet, but I'm way better than I was doing. And maybe that's...
You sound better.
Well, I feel lots better than I did. And I don't know what brought it on, and I'm anxious to be in the pink again as soon into the future as I could possibly be that, and have just vibrancy coming all over the place. Normally spring is a good time for me. You make it, and I know it's laughingly cold winter out here, but you make it through a long, hard
San Diego winter,
low in the upper 40s overnight winter, and the peepers and the crocuses and the fucking daffodils and all that shit.
Wait, you got peepers out there?
I don't know. I've heard you say it. And I was so impressed with it. I said, well, I've got to work it into the shtick, But no.
Well, I kind of wondered when you said the peepers and the crocuses. I was thinking peeping, croaking. Yeah.
Well, my grandmother had, I don't know what peepers are. I know what peeps are. Those little marshmallow trees.
No, peepers are little tiny tree frogs.
Oh. Well, we have lizards. Does that count?
Not to another peeper.
My grandmother, who lived next door to me, my paternal grandmother, had crocuses in her yard as part of her garden. She had wonderful
flowers. Right, and of course, one of the most expensive food items on earth comes from crocuses.
Oh, yeah, I've shopped there many times.
And you said you weren't. And you said you were still feeling a little peaked. Your game's good. No.
Am I?
Saffron. Saffron.
Oh, saffron. That's
I shop there all the time. Wait a minute.
What is saffron? It's like a spice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's delicate and it provides beautiful coloring, and it's got a flavor, and it comes from the stamens of crocuses, and they got to be harvested by hand.
Really?
I read a story years and years and years ago about a woman who won a shopping spree at a grocery store, And she damn near broke the place because she was smart. You know, she had like 5 minutes to load her buggy.
She headed for the spice and Asian food.
No, aisle. She pre-ordered 10 pounds of saffron.
Holy shit. Those little crocuses,
I think that stuff's actually, by volume, more expensive than gold.
Really? Well, I've had, is there a thing called saffron rice?
Yes, that is rice that has been seasoned with saffron.
Yeah, I believe I've had that before. As a matter of fact, I could go for some right now. Where would I get it? Would someone bring it to me?
Because
I'm real big about people.
They got, well, no, I mean, if you just go down to Crocus's and get yourself some saffron and get yourself some rice and go to town.
Yeah, but see, that involves, you know, bending over a hot stove.
Where is your stove, Scott? How damn tall are you? What, 8.5 feet?
Well, no, it's like that old Groucho line. I can see DeMarco DeMont. I can see you bending over a hot stove, but I can't see the stove. But anyway,
I was actually talking to the kids earlier, and I said, you know, come. Warm weather's here, and it will soon be time. It's kind of hard for me to get really good fresh seafood around here because, you know, landlocked state and all of that.
Yeah.
But I said, as soon as we can afford it, we'll make a road trip. We'll have a day of it, make a road trip down to Charleston, get some scallops, get some shrimp, get some clams, you know, some nice fish, and some good rice, and make paella, because that's another one of those dishes that I made, and Annette went, oh my God, this is fabulous. And of course, that begins with making the rice in a broth that you have made from the reduction of like lobster shells and shrimp shells and
kind of a stock.
Yeah, it is a stock. And so, and then you put a few threads of saffron in with the rice. It turns this lovely golden color and has this beautiful flavor. And that's the base of your paella.
Well, you know, talking about, I'm not a big fan of like clams or oysters or, you know, the shellfish part of seafood. But otherwise, I love seafood. And I don't even know if they were done in by the, you know, the COVID thing, because a lot of places closed down and never opened back up. But there either was or is a restaurant chain. I think they have two or three different locations out here called Anthony's. And I'm telling you, if you ever make it out here, I'll take you to Anthony's if they're still around. Because if you like seafood.
Because if they're not, it's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, but well, that's true of everything. Simple case of non-presence, you know. But yeah, oh man, I remember who took me there. Somebody took me there once. Maybe it was my ex-wife. We went there. I don't know. But I had swordfish, which I love anyway. I don't know if it's an iffy thing on the menu anymore because some of those fish are there's a mercury.
If you've ever read Tony Bourdain's Kitchen Confidential, you will never, ever, ever order swordfish again.
What does he say? What did he say?
I hesitate to mention this. Okay, well, so
give me the broad.
Well, there's only one. No, worms.
Oh, dear, sweet, merciful Jesus.
That like
oh, Jesus, look at your
Jesus, look at the time. But apparently, while you're grilling them or baking them or whatever, they'll go up out of the fish.
They come up, oh my. Like the mole people in the Superman show.
Yes!
They come up with that modified Electrolux cylinder vacuum cleaner shooting at a Clark Kent, Lois, and Jimmy. Holy shit. Holy shit! Well, and he knows his food, or did know his food, so you got to trust what he says. And now I'm sorry you told me. I shouldn't have pressed you on it. God damn, that's
next time I warn you, Scott. Matt in San Francisco just wrote, "Dinner with Robin and Scott. I feel sorry for the wait staff. I hope they have a sense of humor."
Well, what can I say? See, I wasn't expecting that. I know that, you know, Bourdain used to go to faraway places with strange sounding names and interesting items on the menu, but I wasn't quite ready for that. My goodness, let me open a window, get my fan. Ooh, mercy, I'm having a case of the vapors. Yikes. Anyway, you don't do that to me.
Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no truths.
Well, I should know better by now. But anyway, getting back to the Dominion deal, I want to celebrate, and it's probably worth, you know, giving a hip hip and maybe even a hooray, feeble as it is. But there is so much crap out there.
Well, I have to issue a correction real quick.
Was that something I said or something?
No, it's something I said.
Oh, okay.
Gino, serving as the Horn ad hoc Saffron fact-checking committee. It's a common mistake, including in some cookbooks, but that's probably where I got it. But saffron is not the stamens, the male function of plants. It is, in fact, the female function, the styles, that give the brilliant saffron color, smell, and taste. Face it, if it was the male function, it could not possibly be so exquisite. Oh, suddenly the cowbells are flying.
It would smell like old socks.
It's so expensive because you get 3 threads, styles, per flower, and a healthy bulb will produce a maximum of 3 flowers per year, and they have to be harvested and separated by hand. But it is worth it. I've been growing them in Utah for decades. The most amazing flavoring on earth. Gino, great minds. I've been. Is it a particular type of crocus? Because I've actually thought about planting crocuses and just doing enough of them to, you know, maybe make one pan of paella or something. Thank you for that, Gino. That's awesome.
Let's go back to the Golden Groove Yard. To the late 1960s, the Scottish folk singer, pop singer Donovan.
Yes.
You remember him? He sang a song called Mellow Yellow.
Yes.
They call me Mellow Yellow.
Yes, you don't have to. We remember it. You don't have to sing it.
Okay, but anyway, well, some of the younger members may not even
quite rightly. Quite rightly.
Yes, but the line was, "I'm just mad about saffron."
Saffron's mad about me.
Well, what the hell was that about? Up close and personal on the spice rack? I don't get it.
It was the late 60s. She had probably decided she no longer wished to be called Clotilda, and she was just going by Saffron.
Yeah, Camille, the part of Camille is now being played by the lovely...
Wait, no. We can't talk about Turf Island, and you can't say Camille or Camilla without me. I am then obliged to say...
Well, anyway, I did things that this...
Hey, Queen Camilla, why the long face?
I knew a Camilla once. She was the daughter of a Captain Lunsford, who was in the fire department, who was a senior member of the fire department when my dad joined in the 1950s. I mean, this guy was born like in 1870-something, okay? And
if you tell me he had a handlebar mustache and smoked a meerschaum pipe.
No, he was bald-headed, and he wore those rimless wire-framed glasses that I know nuns used to wear them a lot in the 60s. And he could do this thing with his ears.
Because he could use them to pick locks.
Well, I don't know about that. But he could wiggle his ears. And as kids, we would visit, and we were easily entertained. And old Captain Lunsford would wiggle his ears, and we were just overwhelmed with a sense of delight and glee. So let that be a lesson to all of you out there. Deworm your swordfish and do it now while you're thinking about it. So,
have you had your swordfish dewormed before dinner?
Well, what you do is you capture a robin redbreast, okay? Get your red robin. And
leave me out of this.
No, I'm talking about the winged variety. And get it to, peck your swordfish steak before preparation. And stop me, Robin. Just, you've got the button there. Just
the mouse is a ventriloquist. He's doing it all.
What was the thing that I was, there was something on TV that I was going to make you aware of, and I have spaced it. So if I think of it, I'll tell you about it.
Oh, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa says,
is he feeling better?
That's easy. You just put some horse paste in the swordfish tank.
Oh, yeah.
It lends it that lovely apple flavor.
Oh, dear. I just don't know. I just don't know.
And, welcome. Welcome to Crocus Talk. Gino with an update. It's a specific fall blooming crocus, Crocus sativus. A bit on the expensive side, but you can order them from lots of online nurseries. And the bed will slowly expand over time. In addition to flowering every year, they produce new bulbs over time. So every 3 or so years, you dig them up, separate the bulbs, and replant. I started with 25 and now have many hundreds.
Yeah, that's how my grandmother did. I mean, every spring it was a delight to play in her backyard. She had a big old pear tree in the backyard and a damson.
Damson plums, yes.
Yeah, a plum tree, and she had a cherry tree, and she had strawberries growing in the backyard at one point. And I hadn't thought about that for years. But spring, it was like a festival of color and fragrance, and, I don't know. I think my ride's here. I hear a siren. But anyway, what my take on this Dominion thing? Am I being too pessimistic here or realistic?
No, I mean, the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation were beside themselves starting at about 4:15 just disgusted that Dominion settled. And I understand the disgust, but I also happen to have had a little bit of experience, and I understand why you settle.
Well, yeah, because...
Bird, hand...
Two bush.
Right.
Yeah. And you're right, because... And how deep are their pockets over there at Fox?
Well, what the reporting I saw said that they had $4 billion in the petty billions drawer.
Well, see, that's...
That was their cash on hand.
That's not even a slap on the wrist. And they're cranking money in day after day, week after week, despite the competition.
But the thing is, it's not far from what the, given the fact, and let me do this again, given the fact that Dominion had already waived $600 million economic damages claim, $787 million plus $600 million is $1,387 million, even though I'm terrible at ciphering. 1.3, did I say 137 million, proving I'm terrible at ciphering? No, it's 1.37 billion, which is very close to the actual ad damnum clause that Dominion had sought in the first place.
Yeah.
So there's no way their lawyers are going to get to that number and not go back to the Dominion guys and say, you kidding me?
Now, is this a hard and fast settlement? Written in ink, notarized, and
you
sealed?
Best not announce it to a, you best not announce it to a trial court judge of competent jurisdiction and then say, had my fingers crossed.
Well, what I'm saying is it's not an appealable thing.
No. I mean, that the part, the settlement document will have all kinds of language about waiving appeals.
Yeah, well, that's good, because you got to, when you're dealing with those bastards, you know, you've got to cross your T's and dot
your I's. What I'm curious about, Scott, is whether there will be language in the settlement agreement about what happens with the Smartmatic case, which is coming up, which is actually even more, even a bigger ad damnum clause.
Now, is Smartmatic in any way connected with Dominion?
I haven't sorted. I'm not fully cognizant. I'm not even cognizant. I don't know. I would think that if they were one was a subsidiary of the other or something, I would think that they would have been consolidated.
Because basically,
for purposes of judicial economy,
isn't the thing that brought the Dominion case into being was the fact that they smeared. Just outright lied about Dominion on their air and continued to reinforce.
It's not just that they did it. It's that they knew they were doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the judge had already made a finding that Fox lied. So to a certain extent, Dominion got what they wanted. We just didn't get what we wanted.
What did we want?
Yeah, you know, we wanted the Fox News building to do the road show of Towering Inferno.
Oh dear, dear! I hadn't. I mean, no, they're free to practice their craft. I mean, I don't want to put them totally out of business. I just want to hobble.
Really, don't you?
No, because you. I mean, other. Otherwise, how do you keep track of what the opposition is up to if they're not there to be up to something? And it's not like I was saying before. It's not like if they just suddenly went away, if they all sent it back to John Kluge's Metro Media Company and we went back 45, 50 years in corporate time, the damage is already done in terms of what Murdoch and the fucking U.S. regulatory people and the FCC and the people controlling the ownership situation with foreign nationals or foreigners owning broadcast outlets, they managed to figure out a way so that there was either a loophole or they changed the law outright. And that's how we got into this mess, because it used to be
an Irwin Allen production. Sorry.
Wait a minute. Let's say that again.
An Irwin Allen production.
Like Poseidon and
The Towering Inferno.
Voyage to See Who's on the Bottom. And no, wait a minute. That was one of his. And wasn't the Time Tunnel one of
probably.
God, Irwin Allen. God, there is a name from the past. Do you know, I was on a date when the Towering Inferno was in theaters.
That dog was nominated for 8 Academy Awards.
But my date fell asleep. Now, how the hell do you fall asleep during the Towering
Inferno? Oh, you just had to, didn't you? When they the last remake of King Kong,
was that? The one down that Peter Jackson or whatever his name
is? Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, I never saw that one.
Well, I did, and in fact, the whole family went to see it. It had been a long day. Annette was sleepy, tired, worn out. Being a mom is like that. And I didn't realize it. We were sitting there together in the movie theater, and she had dozed off.
Oh, my.
And all of a sudden, that great goddamn giant Tyrannosaurus Rex is just a shot of the head with the mouth and the teeth open and the screaming. Annette wakes bolt upright in the entire movie theater, hears her go, "What the fuck?"
Popcorn goes flying, goobers everywhere. People picking raisinets out of their ears and hair and nostrils. Oh my God, what a sight.
It's been a long time since I thought of that. What the fuck?
Honey, there are children here. I don't give a fuck. What the
I can see it. I can see it in my mind's eye. I, you know, and there's no, you talk about waking with a start. Yeah, that was, she revved right up. Oh, my. I just.
Sorry. I have to get a tissue. There are tears. I don't want my mascara to run.
I remember that old song, Robin. I've got tears in my ears from lying on my back crying over losing you. So, hum along if you know it.
I'm going to hum a few bars. Hey, let me see if I can get Scary Jerry back into this conversation.
I wouldn't bet money because Jerry's got communication issues with his
Go ahead. He hung up and dialed back. Sometimes that fixes it. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here. How do I sound?
It works. Don't move.
Yes, hold one leg up and then index finger against the left ear.
Yeah. I did get your email. No, saffron and sassafras are not even remotely the same thing.
Sassafras is really
I know that. He's saying the line in the song. He said saffron meaning sassafras.
Oh, it was a drug reference.
Yes. And that would be around the time everybody first turned on to ecstasy.
Ah.
What song was that, Jerry?
Mellow Yellow. I'm just mad about saffron. Saffron's just about mad about me. It's according to Scary Jerry, that's a reference to the early synthesization of MDMA.
I didn't know that ecstasy. I guess it did go back that far.
Well, it was originally a pharmaceutical.
Alexander Shulgin, he was originally contracted by the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Narcotics Bureau at that point. It was like, I think, a year shifted to discover all plant-based amphetamine sources. He was contracted to discover like three or four. He discovered 100, wrote the formulas down, and jumped out the window and set the bitch on fire and yelled hippie shit as he left. He turned into a hippie. Saw God and left. Couldn't work for the man no more. True story.
Had no idea.
Oh, yeah. No, he just recently died, believe it or not, in his 80s. In fact, the Molly craze of the mid 2000s was his last formula. He came back and made one for the road. Made ecstasy from African plant materials.
Oh, and by the way, Arnold in PA just wrote in and said, listen, you and Scott can have dinner. I'll make California burgers with homemade fries and sweet potato fries, but you can't talk about the damn worms, okay?
Yeah, the worms, I'm a vegetarian. And that's the reason 1,064 why I'm a vegetarian worms. But damn, you shouldn't have done that to Scott. Scott didn't deserve any of that.
Jerry, I have a pretty good imagination, and I'm looking at a nice fish steak in my mind's eye, and all of a sudden there's like fucking worms coming up out of it, you know, looking from left to right to see if I'm watching.
Haven't ordered it since I read the book, and that was 2009, something like that.
My God.
There was a lot of good advice in that book.
I just made an amazing veggie burger. I'm in awe right now of the veggie burger. I was, I called for a bunch of reasons, but
one of which was because I mentioned Florida too many times.
Yeah, and Ron DeSantis, and you sparked in my brain something I thought of today that you guys are going to help me remember. You remember the old show Aqua Team Hunger Force, right?
Oh, of course, yes.
I want to come up with a political ad, and this may involve helping Trump, so I need your support here, where you have the same bad animation, but instead of Meatwad, you have Meatball Ron saying stupid shit about Florida, and then some really badly animated mouse does something pornographic to him.
Does that mean Nitwit Nero is Frylock or Master Shake?
I don't know, but I guess.
We'll workshop it.
Shit, he could be Carl.
Yes, 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 he's Carl, of course.
But no, actually, I want Trump money, PAC money, so I can't denigrate Trump quite yet. But I was thinking about it, and I was pissed my pants. You know, but it doesn't have to be good animation on this. You don't have the meat wad there and the mouth moving and the eyes. It's mostly the material.
But, if the folks that made Aqua Teen Hunger Force were to, like, get upset about it, you'd say it was fair use, and it's parody, and it's satire, and it's protected, and it's political.
And I think I can do all the voices, too. But the white boots, I think, sell it. What do you think?
Oh, the white boots are everything. Yes.
Oh, my God. I think I have to do this. And I think, no, I'm going to take some Trump PAC money with this. I mean, it is worth a couple of bucks. I just got to write some of the jokes now. But, yeah. That's one way to get back at him, shoot at him, and stand behind Republicans. We'll come for Trump next. But, you know, this is what I was saying. I was rich guy, 50-year-old guy. 50-year-old guy could have had a different girl every day from the ages of 17 and 3/4.
Apparently, some of the backstory on this was that his heart was going bad. He's 50 years old. And that's why he was wearing a heart monitor, because he was sickly. So I guess he could only look, which is still gross as hell.
Oh, look at some 18-year-old titties. He could hire 18-year-old.
Let's not use that word again, please. I mean, you know, thank you.
I meant it in the nicest way. But see, topless maids, three shifts. You know, just bounce around. There's women who are into it, and they charge for it, and everybody's happy. It's all consensual, and nobody's supposed to bring
it up. But see, with a sick freak like that guy, it's the transgressive nature that plays into the appeal. It's just so super-duper absolutely gut-bendingly gross.
You know, I say the same thing about Epstein, because Epstein had a similar profile. I mean, he went through the trailer park.
Hell, for all we know, this guy knew Epstein.
And Epstein, if you don't know, Epstein was like 40 miles up the road from me. So that hit pretty, that was particularly gross, because it was I don't know if the Herald picked it up, but initially it was the New Times, which is a local liberal rag, who picked that scab initially. I always have a soft spot in my heart for them, because, you know, they have lots of ads, but there's always one or two articles just like that. They also got that guy liberated from jail, who he'd been in jail about 20 years. They said he shot up some apartments 20 years ago, and it wasn't him. He wasn't even there. He was in jail that night. But I don't know. What's going on, Scott? You sound good. You're quick tonight. What's the temperature in San Diego right now?
Well, I'm glad you asked me. I'm going to look out the old weather window. Right now, in my neighborhood, under fair skies, 63 degrees. We're looking for an overnight low of 54.
All right. Great. Since we're doing that, let me check. And hold on. What do we got? Right now, in the city of Miramar, which is one of the suburbs of North Miami and Miami Gardens, it is 77 degrees. If you have a problem with the temperature today, even Scary today is wearing shorts, and Scary doesn't do shorts, but I'm wearing flip flops and shorts. Did you see that weather map I sent you last week, Robin?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did.
I sent you that before it became news. Do you realize that?
Yeah, that did dawn on me.
Yeah, I was. But we were talking about something else. The show kind of went another direction. That's cool. But yeah, and that was it was 3 feet of rain by my house.
Yeah, in what, some 2 hours? Something ridiculous like that?
3 feet?
3 feet of rain. Yeah. Right at the intersection, right?
I mean, Scott, that was the meteorological equivalent of the old prank with putting the bucket full of water over the partially open door.
Oh, yeah. Coming down literally in buckets.
When Californian people go, I go, we had mudslides form in 4 hours. Not mudslides, but flash flooding.
Yeah, rivers of mud. Because there aren't any mountains in Florida for stupid people to build houses on the sides of.
Well, just water. All of a sudden, everybody flooded at the intersection because it became flood state by the duration of a couple of light cycles. I shit you not. That's what kind of rain we're talking about. It wasn't warm enough to be tropical. It was really weird.
Was it cold rain?
Yeah, it was cold.
Old people talking about the weather this evening on the Horn.
Oh yeah, no, this is great. This is.
Well, no, I've actually got something that goes with that, and probably will prove to be. It's Titanic Tuesday. This is Titanic Intellect. Marginal Trailer Queen this past Saturday apparently was mad about something. So she jumped on Twit Social. We've already accomplished the merger. It's Twit Social now. But I guess maybe she'd seen the Fort Lauderdale, you know, your neck of the woods kind of flooding. And she said, if you believe, might want to get the hockey puck for this. If you believe that today's climate change is caused by too much carbon, you've been fooled. We live on a spinning planet that rotates around a much bigger sun, along with other planets and heavenly bodies. I met one at the gym once. Rotating around the sun, I added that part. Not about the sun, but the heavenly body at the gym. Rotating around the sun that all create gravitational pull on one another while our galaxy rotates and travels through the universe. Considering all of that, yes, our climate will change and it's totally normal.
Well, all I know.
All right, now I have to throw my own disclaimer right there. Put your food down. Put it in the microwave. Okay. Or put it in the fridge. Cover your drink. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert are just the type of girls that would do all kinds of things for a couple of lines and a couple of Bud Lights. There, I said it.
And well, not Bud Light. I don't want to be trans by my beer.
Well, maybe not Modelo, but either. but yeah, and you know what? I'm attracted to that vibe. And in the distant past, I never closed on that because politics would always come up. I'm very immersed in politics. I am an independent because I'm a flaming, screaming liberal. The Dems are too weak for me, too weak sauce. Don't need to be said. Those guys in Tennessee, when the hat comes around or if they need somebody to make some calls, those are my guys right there. That's how you Democrat. Not this other shit that they do. I will follow them wherever they go. That's a line from Revelation. Anyway, so just to answer to the 6 week thing, I had originally had some romantic plot of me traveling across the country and mailing abortion pills. I don't even have to leave the fucking country. We got, conservatively speaking, 25-30 million people right here. Charity begins at home, right?
Yeah, yes? True enough. Yeah. Speaking of the Tennessee Three, Justin Jones is doing his very dead level best to give Tennessee maggot House Speaker Cameron Sexton a stroke. So, alongside Bishop William Barber, who you remember Moral Monday, there was a gun protest outside the Tennessee Capitol in which protesters carried caskets, and Justin Jones carried an infant-sized casket into the House chamber. And the sergeant-at-arms stopped him and wouldn't let him carry it any further.
I went to school in Tennessee. That ruined me literally for 30 years, you know, around about now. I often make the joke that Tennessee... Well, there's a YouTube clip about a DoorDash driver being tased. And that's right in front of the college I went to there. And I saw that and I'm like, yeah, that's about right. I mean, we make the religious school makes the news because of racist hazing. Tennessee invented racism, and I don't understand why. The women are so beautiful; it's a pretty land, but I still have PTSD from going to school in Tennessee. And they just sent me an alumni notice too. It's kind of funny. I was just thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? Maybe we can make a deal. Because I never got my certificate, Robin. You know how those things go, Robin, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
The flap.
But hold on. Scott was actually going to say something a little bit back. Do you still remember what it was, Scott?
Well, I don't, but it just occurred to me that one of the things that I wanted to bring up since I spent 10 years in that area was this shooting in North Kansas City that's been in the news with the young man and the old 84, 85-year-old geezer opens the door and just shoots the kid.
Oh, yeah.
And apparently the young man was supposed to pick up his siblings or some friends of his siblings and his siblings from a party or a gathering or something. And it was instead of 100-and-something terrace, it was 100-and-something street or vice versa.
And yeah, I think it was 9th Street and 9th Terrace.
But the thing is, that area of Kansas City locally is referred to as north of the river. And I never spent much time up there because there's a shift in the magnetic field or something that nothing is laid out the way you think it ought to be once you go north of the river into any of those areas up there. So I can see where anybody who's not familiar with it is going to get turned around because even people who are familiar with it get turned around. And it was his bad luck to end up at that fucker's house. And I hope that... he pulls through. I hear he's gone home. Isn't his mother a nurse?
Yes, that's why he survived.
Well, God bless him. And I'm telling you, for anyone who doubts that there are crazy people out there with itchy trigger fingers who don't like people whose complexion doesn't compare favorably with the bags at the grocery store, you know. They're out there, and they're going to be out there.
Well, I take issue with you in one regard.
You know the crazy thing about that?
Hold on. I disagree with you in one regard, Scott. He was not crazy. I think we do a disservice to the horror that transpires in this country when we say that these people are crazy. You know, it's like Steve in New York messaged me earlier today. Paranoid old white men, too. Drag queens, nothing. Because these are the people who do the killing.
Hold on. Let me flesh this out.
Neither the guy in Kansas City nor the guy in New York were crazy. What they were, and what we must absolutely drive home, countersink the nail, is that they were precisely lawful gun owners. Okay? I came up with that thing a long time ago, that the only difference between a lawful gun owner and an awful gun owner is the letter L and the distance it takes to make the trigger move the firing pin. It's a tiny distance and one little letter.
Every gun owner
has the potential to be an awful gun owner. Go ahead, Jerry.
I am crazy. And under the right circumstances, I could be violent. We're talking one in a thousand stuff. But yeah. Now, with that said, A, that's why I don't have a gun. But I wouldn't shoot a stranger coming to my house. Even if I thought...
I know, the 85-year-old dude in Kansas City shot through his damn door.
Shot through his own door.
And the prosecutor made a point of saying there was a racial component to it.
Even if I thought they meant harm. Because I've had the opportunity to end people who meant harm, and I didn't. And I'm crazy I can still get a gun in Florida. It doesn't change anything, but by the quotes, as it were. God, that's a terrible thing to say. Hold on. Let me change location here.
I hear the mower. Yeah. By the way, I need to do a quick fundraising update. Thank you to Robert. Thank you, Robert, so very much, and thank you to Joy. We have now started fundraising on last Wednesday's program, so at least we got started on fundraising for last Wednesday before tomorrow, which is awesome. And we now have $1,480 to go in the fundraising department. So thank you for that, Robert, and thank you, Joy. Thank you. Thank you.
Robin?
Yes, Scott.
I was going to tell you that I take your point, and I'm glad that you pointed that out to me in terms of my calling the guy in North Kansas City area crazy. My thing is, what would you call him then? Aberrant? Demented?
Racist. The word is racist. Racist. He's a racist. Yeah,
the thing is, though, I'm sure that there are racist people who are not pulling triggers on people, who just simply harbor
the feelings. The ones who are racist. It's the Venn diagram looks like a cue ball. Seriously. And the other thing I want to point out, this was a far more salient point. I've done residential marketing. What that simply means is you walk up to the house, you put a flyer or a sticker or something on there. Now during the day, I'm one of these people who are one of the darker recycled brown bags right in the middle of there. But during the day, I'll go ahead and put these out. But at night, you can't see Trump flags and NRA stickers and little signs that let you know that if you just traipse too close to the door, you're going to get shot. You follow me?
Yeah, I get what you mean.
Unfortunately, the people who will shoot you like that, they have some kind of sign outside. You know, it's part of the ecology of their
Yeah, but the problem is, I mean, I live in a place
where we shoot salespeople or something like that.
No, I mean,
we shoot every third salesperson. Hold on.
That makes them an active nuisance. One, two. We have people around that, like that around here, and typically it's a sign that they bought at some street fair, you know, from some vendor, and it's wood, and it's like wood burning, and there's a picture of a smoking revolver, and it says,
It says either,
this house protected by Smith & Wesson, or it says, we don't call 911. And you know what those signs are, Jerry?
There will be some sort
those are signs that invite people to come in and burglarize the house because they know that there are fungible goods inside, because firearms in places like West Virginia and probably Florida are more liquid than gold in terms of asset value.
That's still a sidebar, though. From my perspective, the whole perspective of trying not to get shot, if you would see any of those things, you wouldn't walk away. But at nighttime, that's when you're going to get shot.
I mean, I get your point, Jerry, but I just can't move to that space.
It shouldn't have to be that way.
I can't, because
that's how it is. Because I'm specifically remembering a call to, like, my dispatcher telling him, I'm the hell out of here, it's getting dark, I'm not going to get shot out here. He's like, oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, the 20-year-old girl who got wasted in New York didn't even get out of the car. This dude shot into the car as it was driving away.
No,
Let Scott talk. Go ahead.
I don't know as much about that as I do about the one in Missouri. But basically, she had gotten lost and had pulled into a driveway only to back out and try to find her way to where she was.
She wasn't even driving. She was with friends.
But that's what caused the vehicle to pull into the
driveway. Yeah, they were just turning around.
Yeah, see, now that... But see, these types of incidents, and you can't even speak of them in terms of being rarities, because so far the number of mass shootings in this country on the calendar year thus far outnumbers the elapsed number,
the number of days in the year.
So what does that tell you about the state of things?
But I come back to the point I made. Refer to
guys,
them.
I gotta go. I got the keys calling me.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, I love you both. Gotta go.
Bye.
Take care, Jerry.
But I want to drive that point home. Call them what they are: lawful gun owners, because they are the protected class that the NRA constantly brays and bleats about, whose rights can't be trampled by them gun-grabbing Democrats.
Yeah.
The problems are being caused by the lawful gun owners. For whatever else they want to say about Audrey Hale, Audrey Hale was a lawful gun owner who purchased 7 semi-automatic weapons. The dude who shot up the country music festival in Vegas was a lawful gun owner. Everything he had on his person, in his possession, with which he used to perpetrate that attack, was a lawfully owned weapon or accoutrement thereof. It is the fact that they can own these things lawfully that is the fundamental problem, because the minute they decide to stop being lawful, whatever switch flips in their head, A, they're not crazy, and B, then it's too late.
And I don't see any way out of this dilemma, this situation. Maybe once upon a time, there might have been, but I would like, you remember me back when I used to be the relentless optimist, okay, fool that I was. Once upon a time, there were enough cool heads and rational heads and responsible people in charge at various levels of government where you might have some at least partial addressing of the situation so that it just wasn't rampant. Now it's become rampant. It's an epidemic. And we're the only Western nation where this occurs. You don't see this shit in Canada. You don't see this shit in Europe. You don't see it anywhere but here. And I don't see any way. I mean, either Holderman or Ehrlichman said once the toothpaste is out of the tube,
you can't put it back in.
You can't get it back in, and that's where we are.
See, I don't necessarily agree with that.
Well, what is the solution? How do we? What is the workaround? What is the...
Look, the workaround, I mean, it's not even a workaround. There are several solutions. The fact that people automatically discount them does not mean that they're not solutions. We could repeal the Second Amendment. It is functionally unnecessary because its entire purpose was for the support of militias. What were the militias are now the National Guard. It is redundant. It is obviated.
Where is that, doing that, where is that on the scale of heavy lifts?
It's political death. For everybody except someone who isn't who is in a safe district. You know, the polar opposite of that is every now and then, I mean, I remember I was living in Georgia at the time, the city of Kennesaw, I think. They passed a city ordinance saying everyone who lived in the city limits had to own a firearm.
How'd that work out?
Yeah, I don't think it did. But...
I wouldn't trust myself to have a firearm.
You know, it was something I've mentioned in the past. Make everyone who purchases a weapon give proof that they have a $1 million liability insurance policy.
No, I would go for that.
You cannot drive an automobile off a lot without, at least in this state, without proving that that vehicle is insured the minute that it gets on the public road.
That's right. But then they'll tell you, well, guns aren't cars. Cars aren't in the Constitution. Bill of Rights.
That's halfway. Because the ability to move freely about the country damn sure is. But you can, and even fat dead Tony Scalia's Heller decision says, yeah, you can have reasonable limitations on the right to keep and bear arms. And so consequently, you know, Chicago can ban the sale of assault weapons inside the city limits of Chicago. Chicago's gun violence problem is not a Chicago problem. It's the fact that you can drive 30 minutes into Wisconsin and the next thing you know, you got your AR-15 and away you go. Look at Herr Rattenhouse. He lived in Illinois. Mommy drove him to Wisconsin. He bought his weapons. Somebody held the weapons for him. And then mommy drove him back so that he could go and plug a few people because he didn't like it when people protested the police when the police try to kill black folks. Okay?
Yeah.
This needs to be nationally addressed. The number of gun violence crimes that were perpetrated after the assault weapons ban went in under the Clinton administration dropped precipitously, and it shot back up like an Apollo rocket when George W. Bush said, "We're going to let that expire,"
and here we are.
And here we are. Exactly. I want to do something real quick. Well, I don't want to keep it. I've got a piece of audio here that Darlene sent along, and I want to run some of it. It's from Midas Touch, and it's a solid breakdown, Darlene says, of what the Dominion decision actually means. And we've got time to run it, but somebody just chimed in on the stress line, and I want to make sure we get to them. Hey, welcome to the program. Oh. Hey, are you there?
Yeah, Rob.
Yeah. Is that you, Clarence?
Can you hear me? Yeah, it's Clarence. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. Hey, I was listening to you every day, but this gun control thing, I was just looking for answers, right? And you've been around a few years like I have. I know one way that possibly you really, really get that gun control thing on. You remember the story about the Black Panthers out in California?
Oh, sure.
When they went up to Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And Ronald Reagan and them, they had a shit fit.
Oh,
man. And within 30 days, because, you know, they had open carry in California, you know, and the Black Panthers, they went up to the Capitol, and they stood up on the steps with guns, you know, no ammunition or nothing in them. And them white folks went nuts, man.
Yeah.
30 days later, the state legislature, you know, they passed that gun control law up there. So my answer to it is, if the black and brown people of this country start walking up and down the streets, open carry with our AKs and pistols and stuff, you'll see so many legislatures convene to change them laws real quick. I think that's one way it's
Clarence, done. In this climate, the only thing that scares me to death about that is that the terrified white folks will start shooting. Because we already know there's an entire history of a black man cannot reach for his wallet because wallets look like guns to cops. He can't be carrying a can of Arizona iced tea because a can of Arizona iced tea looks like a gun to cops or, you know, George Zimmerman. He can't be playing with a BB pistol because a BB pistol looks like a real gun to cops, to Tamir Rice. I guess loose cigarettes look like a gun to cops. A guy with his hands in the air looks like he has a gun to cops. And if that's if that's what the cops think, Clarence, then what the hell is like an 85-year-old dude in North Kansas City going to think, or a 65-year-old dude in Hebron, New York?
But everything you're saying makes sense. But the idea, see, most of them people that get shot are what? They are unarmed.
Yes.
Now, I mean, you know, it'll be somewhat, you know, like I said, it's just hypothetical. It'll be somewhat of a shootout. But I'm telling you, I think that it still will reign some kind of control. Because one thing, it's like my cousin, he's trying to get permitted carry. And I kept telling him, like, man, I keep telling him, I say, them gun laws are not for black people. Oh, we got some black folks who got them. I said, yeah, we got them. But I said, that's at the,
Philando Castile said, yes, that's officer, right. I have a permit. And they wasted him. They wasted him.
Yep. I see. But you're right on that. They will step. But I think, you know, I know that's not going to happen because most people, black and brown communities, they're not going to buy them damn. The only ones really have them in our community is, you know, the riffraff and the hoolies and stuff. And there's some lawful abiding ones, but they don't, you know, they don't run around with them.
Well, our buddy Les out on the road is a strong advocate for the African American community arming themselves.
Yeah,
he's armed.
But
he knows.
You know, I am too, but I don't care. But you know, like I said, after my little experience in Vietnam, that was enough for me with that. You know, bodies being mutilated. I kind of frown on that. But it was just a thought I had, you know, because you got to do something there. Because they got right down Ronald Reagan. I'll never forget that. They got real paranoid. No. We can't have that. and I think some of the states, if they tried it, but you got a point there, too. Once they see us running around with guns, it'll be open season. And then they'll run the castle with all these rules. They got the castle thing and the stand your ground.
Well, and see, that's one of the problems in North Kansas City. This 85-year-old dude who shot through his door is probably going to, I'd say it's a solid bet that dude will use the stand your ground because, of course, Missouri has that.
Not to mention, he'll probably use the police. What's the police favorite line? I was fearing for my life. You know, just the sight of a black person.
Yeah,
I was
fearing for my life. Young black man, scary to 85-year-old white man.
Yeah.
But the question is, would a 16, 17-year-old white boy be scary?
Nope.
I mean, I know some around here who are.
Hey, I was getting ready to say, some people, they talk about how vicious and how wild, you know, the urban communities are, you know, and, you know, I'm a man in the world. Right, I'm down in the, listen, now I'm from the streets. I'm from Philadelphia. But there's some hollers and holes in the walls. I wouldn't even dare go out there. Because, no. You know, wherever you're at, if you're out of place, you're out of place. But yeah. They got, you know, it's some neighborhood. It's all kind of communities, you know, all over this country.
When you knock on the door and the little kid comes to the door and you say, "Is your daddy around?" And the kid turns around and hollers, "Uncle, daddy!" It's time to leave.
Time to step off here. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy, man. I, you know, that gun thing. I don't know. And the thing, I was listening to somebody else the other day. They were talking. They had a good analogy too. You know, all these guys were gunning up to take down the jackleg. What is it? The government with their boots on their neck. Some of them.
Yeah,
like, yeah. I don't know. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, come on, guys. And a lot of these guys, some of them, I guess they get amnesia. They've been in the military. If they even try to take on, say you try to take on the United States government right now with the technology they got, I mean, they sit back and drone, they'll drone the whole damn town, you know, out of existence. Or just poison the water. I mean,
well, but then
there's so many parameters that these guys, they want to gun up for what, man?
Well, consider what happened in Hebron, New York. That dude shot that carload of kids. The girl died, and dude went in his house, and the cops showed up, and he wouldn't come out, and then they had to have hostage negotiations.
Exactly. And that gun and stuff. Like the other day, okay, this was a real, real good optic, and I picked up on it. When they went after that young man, the Air National Guard dude. Now, you see the, what did they pull up there? They pull up there in an armored personnel carrier for just this one person. He brought his ass out that house, though, even though he had guns and stuff. But I'm just saying, the optics alone right there, and I'm saying, these guys, they want to take on folks, got stuff like that. And they was ready for bear for that young man. But, yeah, just all this, they were fighting the U.S. government, and, you know, it's a fantasy. But we dealing with a bunch of fools out here.
Without a doubt.
It's amazing. Yes, sir. So how you been doing otherwise?
Yeah, I'm all right. Spring's here. I'm feeling a lot, but, you know, all I got to do is have a little bit of warmth and a little bit of light, and I'm a happy girl.
Oh, you know what I want to bring to your attention? Yesterday, I was on my, taking a load down to, what was it? A place called Palm Springs, Florida. Just south of West Palm Beach. But anyway, I was on 95, about 2 o'clock yesterday. Now, mind you, Robin, roads clear, everything. All of a sudden, my phone just lit up, pop up, you know, with the tornado warnings, you know, take cover immediately. So mind you, I'm in all this traffic. We got 6 lanes of traffic going into, you know, northern Miami, West Palm Beach area, Riviera Beach. The hail started hitting my truck, and I thought the windshield was going to get busted out. You know, I'm glad I got a Volvo, so it's flat. It wasn't at an angle. But anyway, you should have seen the folks out there, because it was scary at that time. Everybody started bunching up. Now, mind you, the water is good. My truck is hydroplaning, and I got a tractor trailer with 40,000 pounds. So, you know, the cars, they were just all over the place. But everybody was trying to get up under this overpass. And it was amazing that it wasn't a catastrophe. Because what I did, I just brought the truck to a stop. And I said, you know, if they do pile in, you know, they'll just hit the back of my truck. But it won't keep going on pushing all these cars. But man, you talking about a scary, scary feel. Cause I, you know, never been in a tornado. I've been to direct hills like you have, but, that thing was, crazy. But it said it wasn't a tornado, but you couldn't tell me it wasn't, cause the trees was coming down over the highway. I mean, it was a nightmare.
It's terrifying.
And it lasted about 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, it was terrifying. I was like, and I'm looking at the sky, you know, I'm looking for a cloud trying to drive. It was, I was out of my mind. I said, I couldn't live out there in the Midwest, but Florida's not prone to tornadoes like that, are they?
Oh, yes. Oh, goodness gracious, yes.
I know they have them with the hurricanes, but...
No, yeah, all that flat ground, like just, yeah, all that flat ground, and all it takes is some cold air hitting some warm air, and Shit spins up.
Yeah, that's what it was, because it was hot, then that temp, the pressure dropped. But it was amazing. It wasn't no catastrophe out there, but it shot across Jupiter and a Riviera Beach down there, man. But I don't know. I feel for Jerry and that. That metropolitan area, now mind you, West Palm Beach is like about 60 miles north, where I was at, 60 miles north of Miami. And I was in, you know, just rush hour traffic, 3 o'clock rush hour traffic. And it was like six lanes going north, six lanes going south, and it still was bumper to bumper traffic. It was just a nightmare, man.
I was
stationed there.
I was going to say, driving that big old slab sided thing you drive. No, I don't want to be. Hell, I don't even want to be. I don't even want to be in high winds in that.
You got all them winds. I got caught in the Midwest with them winds before. I know about it. When I do, I'm a weather geek. So when I see the high winds, I ain't one of them guys, the Eagles. I'm going to push it on the park. If it's like 19 miles per hour or more, nah. I don't care if I'm loaded. I've seen them trucks just lift right up off the ground. But that gun thing, man, I don't know what the hell we can do about that. Because I follow the news up there in Philly. Don't a day go by, three or four shootings. It's almost like a carnival up there with that. And that's reminiscent of all, you know, the large urban areas. But even out in the rural area, up there in Florence, where I live at, around the corner, I'm in the country. And there's a little trailer park that I was using air quotes, and they ran up in there and killed two people around, and that's about a mile or two from my house, man. I'm like, man, that stuff is everywhere. Them guns. I don't know what we're going to do about those guns.
Well, whatever we do, we will do it when there is, when enough people in this country, Clarence, decide that 9-year-olds getting to be 10-year-olds are more important than 85-year-olds packing heat because they're scared shitless.
Yeah, and another thing I heard, you know, and it's a lot of truth to it. And the reason that 84-year-old guy, now you figure he's 85, you know, I don't know from can of fence stuff, but more than likely, he's not up and around, moving around like we are. So he's sitting there and getting that steadier diet of that. Be afraid, get your gun. And you got millions of people that's falling for that crap, you know? And all that, and you keep hearing over and over and over again, it becomes a reality, you know. And but that's all that was. That if you get in that guy's head, he just seen a black person on his porch, and he said, "I gotta do something." And you react, and the first thing he did was grab a gun. You know, but you heard about the black brother a few years ago did the same thing. I think his car broke down. He ran up on somebody's property. You know, I think he got killed though. He did the same, knocked on the door, asking for help, and they wasted him.
Blam, yeah. Because freedom.
Yeah, man.
And again, lawful gun owner. Hey, Clarence, I got to run because I do want to run this clip here. But it's awful good hearing from you. Stay safe, you hear?
That surely will.
Hi.
Same here. Talk to you later.
Later. And thank you, Clarence. I love hearing from Clarence. Clarence always has, always brings a material to the conversation. Okay, so I mentioned this a little bit ago, but, you know, it's interesting. As much as I hate doing it, y'all write and send notes and say, hey, mention the fundraising again. Okay, so we are at 1,000. Wait, where? Yeah. Yeah, 1480. We finally finished fundraising for last Tuesday. We've gotten started on last Wednesday. We're at 1480. Tomorrow will be 1780. Middle of the month is always rough. But thanks for those of you who have jumped in and anybody else who wants to help. It is help that is badly, badly needed. Now, this has been my Celis over at Midas Touch breaking down the Dominion Fox News settlement.
I'm Ben Mycelis from the Midas Touch Network. A settlement has been reached between Dominion and Fox in connection with Dominion's defamation case against Fox. The settlement amount has been announced. Fox has settled for $787.5 million. Of course, the demand in Dominion's complaint was for $1.6 billion, but Fox is paying a hefty penalty for its defamatory statements. $787.5 million is the settlement amount. In addition to that settlement amount, Fox was also required to make a statement acknowledging that the court's rulings finding that Fox made false statements about Dominion was indeed accurate. And so Fox had to issue a statement to all of the media confirming the falsity of many of their statements. I want to show you the press conference right now from Dominion's lawyer, Justin Nelson, from the firm of Sussman Godfrey. And in this press conference moment, Mr. Nelson explains how...
Okay, we got that part. Ran that in the program earlier. Mr. Nelson is going to be shopping for Swiss chalets.
Echo Ford, who was supposed to give the opening statement. No opening statement ever took place. Let me show you this clip where Dominion's lawyer says that they are not done yet and there are other people who have some accountability coming towards them as well. And this refers to numerous other individuals and entities that have defamed Dominion. Here, play this clip.
As I was preparing today to give the opening that we never got to, I was reminded of the hell that the Dominion employees went through and continue to go through to this day. Money is accountability. And we got that today from Fox. But we're not done yet. We've got some other people who have some accountability coming towards them. And I'm very proud of the team from Sussman Godfrey that has worked tirelessly for this case.
And here's a video clip of Dominion's lawyers leaving the courthouse. You'll see Justin Nelson, and you'll see the attorney also on there, Davita Brooks. All these lawyers are from the firm Sussman Godfrey. And you'll hear one of the lawyers or someone say, "It's a good day for Dominion," and another lawyer responds, "It is a good day for democracy." Here, play this clip.
Come here, buddy. Come on.
That's a big smile.
It's a good day.
Good day?
All right, guys.
Good day for Dominion.
Good day for democracy.
You know, early in my litigation career, I had a case against Davita Brooks. She was, and this litigation team, Davita Brooks was incredible. We ended up reaching a settlement together. I think it was back in 2014, but I was so impressed with Davita Brooks, there. Now going to the statement, that was made by Fox. I think, Jake Tapper does a great job here reading the statement, and, Jake Tapper can't even, like, help himself as he reads Fox's statement.
There will be
he
snickering.
Basically so talks about how embarrassing this is for Fox. Here, let's play this clip of Jake Tapper.
Waking up?
Or, you know, we could play a commercial.
Fox trying to put a positive face on what can only be interpreted as one of the ugliest and most embarrassing moments in the history of journalism. Fox issued a statement saying, quote, "We are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to..."
You know, ever since over there at 60 Minutes, Leslie Stahl. Ever since Leslie Stahl went at Marjorie Taylor Greene, you notice there's a little bit more. That is kind of cute, I gotta admit.
"Reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion Voting Systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. The settlement reflects..." I'm sorry, this is going to be difficult to say with a straight face. "This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our..."
There really should be a spit take.
"We are hopeful
with
that our decision to resolve the dispute with Dominion amicably instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial allows the country to move forward from these issues. Unquote.
Our Let's bring back CNN legal analyst.
And just
over.
So you can all see my predictions for the purpose of transparency, and you saw the videos that I previously made predicting what I thought would ultimately be the settlement structure. I think I came pretty close. This is what I said in the statement when there was a potential for settlement discussions. I explained that I thought the hardest thing for the parties to resolve was going to be over the statement by Fox and ultimately not the money. I said I believed Fox will pay around $500 million and Dominion would ultimately take that amount and Dominion will insist on a statement from Fox apologizing and Fox will not want to admit fault. And in the video I said I think it could be slightly more than $500 million, but I thought it would be under $1 billion. And so let me explain to you how I made that prediction, but before doing so let me just explain to you what took place in court today, how this settlement came about, how it was announced. So today's proceedings, what was supposed to take place was jury selection, and jury selection was completed early in the morning. And just to remind you, this case was taking place in Delaware Superior Court. The presiding judge over this case was Judge Eric Davis. Leading up to trial, Judge Eric Davis had made a ruling granting partial summary judgment for Dominion, which made a judicial finding that the statements made by Fox were false. So all Dominion had to prove at trial was that Fox acted with actual malice. They had to prove the actual malice standard in making the false statements. To prove the actual malice standard, Dominion had to show that Fox acted intentionally and or with a reckless disregard for the truth. So then trial was set to take place on Tuesday. The jury selection process did indeed take place. A jury was selected early in the morning. And then after jury selection took place, the next step that was supposed to happen was opening statements. And opening statements did not take place. They were being delayed, and lots of people were saying, well, what is going on here with opening statements? Are opening statements going to happen? You know, Judge Eric Davis runs a very tight ship, and people were saying, what's going on? The lawyers were going back and forth in different rooms in the courtroom. Finally, the lawyers show up, the jury is called back in, and then Judge Eric Davis announces and the parties announce to the jury that indeed a settlement had been reached. The judge thanked the jury for their service. The actual amount had not been read to the jury at that point in time. The lawyers thanked the jury. The judge said this was one of the most impressive groups of lawyers that he had seen. The parties then left, and then they gave the press conference that you saw. Dominion's lawyers, Fox's lawyers kind of scurried out of there, and they had to issue that statement as part of the settlement, right? So the settlement had two prongs. Prong one, financial component, $787.5 million. We know about the other prong. Fox had to release the statement that it issued. And then we don't know if there's any other terms that may or may not be confidential, but as we learn more, we'll share that with you.
Pretty much what I said.
That was a very good recap and summation of today's events. But it raises a question, Robin.
Yes.
Now, I'm not a Fox viewer, okay? I'm halfway tempted this evening, as their primetime lineup gets underway, are they going to be reporting on this or commenting on these developments? Has there been a memo that says, don't go anywhere near this, move on, find something new to talk about?
I suspect we settled with Dominion. That'll be about the extent of it.
But they're not going to bemoan the fact that they lost.
They didn't lose.
They did lose.
No, they didn't. They settled. Settling is not losing.
Well, they settled. Okay.
But that's what all that horseshit was about, reaching an amicable settlement instead of the divisiveness of a trial. Now we can move on.
And even if they were to mention it, on the evening lineup, many, maybe most of the Fox viewers, the regular Fox viewers, are probably more or less unaware that this situation
even existed. Yes. Emory and Marvelline are blissfully ignorant, and they're eagerly awaiting testicle-toasting Tuckie O'Rose Carlson to take to the desk and the microphone and the camera to tell them more about the scary transes.
Well, I don't know what to say about it. I mean, I'll take my happy moments when I can get them.
Yeah.
But
listen, that's what I said at the beginning of all this. A settlement is an indication that both sides are going away, to a certain extent, unhappy.
Now, is this a lump sum deal? Like they've got to cut a check for that
amount? Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, because you don't get to, you know, this isn't like screwing over somebody who was in a bad car wreck.
Yeah, it's gonna hurt. I think I don't want to be the guy.
I mean, there's $4 billion in the petty billions drawer, and they're gonna have to give away $787.5 million of that, which, by the way, they will report to their shareholders. But then one of the bean counters will come along and go, "Hey, but we get to write it off on our taxes, which we barely pay in the first place." We'll probably wind up making money out of this.
Right now, as we speak, in the Fox News accounting department, there are little monkeys with little pencils and little eye shades and arm garters working it all out as we speak.
And no matter who Rupi and Lockie want to fire, monkeys, the pencil and the tongue and that.
Working math problems.
Yeah, carry the 12. No matter how badly Rupi and Lockie want to do this, and I think they do, they want to shit can some people for this.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But they can't yet, because Smartmatic is still out there, and in point of fact, there are still, as the lawyer said, there are still others to be dealt with, and, you know, Squidney Powell comes to mind, Mr. Meth Pillow comes to mind, Rudy Giuliani comes to mind. And then it's all lather, rinse, repeat when Smartmatic rolls back around to the tune of $2.6 billion.
Gotta love it.
But the thing is, at the end of the day, Rupee's like, "Hey, I'm still going to DOS stink and reach." Because he's 92. He's not going to go out to the ledge of the penthouse at the Fox News building and take a flyer.
No, hell no, because he's rich.
He wants to live to do more evil and make more money.
I don't need to, mate.
Mate, $787.5 million, and it's beans. Nothing to worry about.
I got lots of evil to do yet. Yeah,
exactly. Well, Scott, you have yourself a lovely evening. And once again, I'm glad you're in a better frame of mind now.
Well, I'll take my little happy moments where I can get them. And today was a happy moment. And thank you for allowing me the opportunity to share with the Grand Horn family. And I hope they're all...
Absolutely. And I'm glad I could warn you away from swordfish.
That's the password to get into the speakeasy, swordfish.
The password is swordfish.
Yes. All right, Robin, take care and have a pleasant evening.
You too. You too, Scott. And so that's the program. Thank you so much to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks ever so to our a la carte contributors. And we made it a little less than awful this evening. So, again, tomorrow we are at $1,780 for the fundraising goal. If you want to help, please help. This is a time for helping. Much obliged. Thanks, Gino, because I've been thinking about planting some crocuses. It's spring. Part of the field has been, it's a beautiful thing. 20 years ago, there was one lonely little iris that would come up over in the field. And now, when they come up, the field is just speckled in this beautiful purple. Some crocuses, some autumn blooming crocuses would be very nice. Thanks, Gina. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Roger, if you were there, thank you. I didn't see later. Thank you, though. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Mash that like button. Subscribe a lot. Tell your friends and neighbors. It's great when that happens. When we build the community. Use the heart button on the TuneIn player. One of these days we'll get to 1,000 unique listeners there. Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please stay safe. There was an announcement about boosters today. If you're over 65 or immunocompromised, you can get a booster within 4 months of your last booster still. There's a 2 month and a 4 month thing since your last shot. Get it while you can. Wear your masks when you're around the maggots because they are a disease lot. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, carry some with you, pocket or purse. Get a little bottle in my purse. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. It's still a good idea. Not being up on top of people and, you know, grunting and spewing and spraying and whatnot. And if somebody comes toward you saying, "And the gym is full of heavenly bodies, I saw them." Well, ignore that avoid that marginal trailer queen like the plague, because she is. Wow, tonight flew by. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.